Hello? Oh, I was on mute. I can't even tell. It's really painful. All right. Oh, one of the things I'm finding out is our son is going to be taking after me with that. He found his voice. And I'm like, oh, I'm seeing a mirror of myself because he's loud. And I'm like, could I have not passed that on to him? But maybe it'll come in useful one day. No, but as I was preparing for this message, I've had many times that I've prepared and I've gotten things together, I've gotten notes. Years ago, I got a really nice PowerPoint because I don't do that ever. And I had a PowerPoint. I was so proud of myself. And then getting closer to the sermon, it was like, that's not what I'm supposed to preach. So my PowerPoint was useless to me, but I had fun making it. But I've never had that happen so intimately that I was very much aware, and I truly believe that God intentionally did something this last week, whether just for me or maybe for you for today. But I had thought I knew what I was going to preach on, and I had prepared a sermon, prepared a message. It had been floating around in my heart, and I was like, Lord, this is really touching me. I can't wait to preach because the body would love to hear this, and they would probably get something out of it. And I was so set, and Friday came, and I was like, okay, I need to get out. I need to walk in the air. I haven't had much this week, so I went to Bixler Lake in Kendallville. I love it over there. And took a walk around, and I always take my camera. I get some wildlife photography while I'm there. But I did less photography, and I was going over my sermon. And halfway through my walk around the pond or lake or whatever you call it, my sermon fell apart. And as I was going through it, I'm like, this made sense all week, and it all flowed. And then now I'm going through it, and I'm like, this is not for Sunday. And I'm really frustrated because, God, you're wrecking my sermon. And I was like, I was so upset. I'm like, oh gosh, it's falling apart. I've got a lot to do this week, and I don't want to go back and do this. And it was like this most comforting, it's okay. Like, this is actually meant to be. And for the first time, I realized I truly believe God gave me a message for me, and then He actually changed it, knowing that I would get to Friday and think I had it, and He said, I want you to change it now. That was actually accurate. You were hearing from me. Because my first thought was, maybe I missed it. Maybe that was me. And I don't know how many of you who have preached up here, you thought you had it and it was you and not him. And then sometimes it was, sometimes it wasn't. And I hit that moment that I was like, all right, was that just me? And it was a very clear affirmation. No, that was me, but I'm doing this for a reason. And the reason I'm telling you all that is because it really is the full conclusion of this morning. What I had prepared and what was for today was actually very interesting coming through. So the title of my message and ultimately what he asked me in that moment when he wrecked my prior sermon was this one question. As we get to the new year, now my first sermon was supposed to be a New Year's sermon, and I was going to talk about different things. And it's interesting because what the word he gave me was a question, and it was this. And he said, do you want in 2024 to be led by the Spirit or led by yourself? And I was like, it was kind of a silly question to me because I'm like, God, I've been a believer for 25 years. I came to the Lord probably around 5 or 6. I don't even remember the exact age because my parents raised me, and I know that I said that prayer with them. But it's been practically my whole life that I've been raised in the faith. And so I'm like, what kind of question is that? The obvious answer is, yes, I want to be led by you, Lord. And he's like, but do you really know what that actually means in the coming year? Do you really want that? And do you really know what that's going to mean for you? And so I was supposed to ask it this morning, and it was amazing because as I had prepared what I thought was his way, he then changed it and said, you're actually going to preach on this. Was the Spirit's leading? And I want to affirm for those of you in here who think that the leading of the Spirit is this bright noise or this loud noise, this bright sign in the clouds, it is simply being led by that voice that you know so intimately. It does not have to be this life-altering, crazy thing. It is that moment of walking around the lake in His presence, in His nature, and Him simply saying, it's not that, it's this. And I love it. And it gave me such a peace because I was like, I'm a planner. And I always am ready a week before my sermon because I have to dwell on it throughout the week. And it threw me off to say, you've got 2 days to have this in your heart. And it was good because that's exactly what my prayer and what he asked me was, do you want to be Spirit-led or do you want to be self-led? If I'm self-led, then I'm going to give myself a week of prepping every time. If I'm Spirit-led, sometimes it means you've got 24 hours. Maybe on my way up and God says, how about another lesson? And you've got about 5 seconds before you hit the podium. I don't like that. And that's why I think that question was so deep and so dear was, do you really know what that means? 2024 is coming up for us. And we can easily look back and say there are certain moments in this year that we would love to relive and some that we are very much glad to put behind us. And how many of you are already planning for the coming year? You got your calendars? You got your planners? Anyone? Nothing? Wow, two of us? Okay, well, me and my wife are planners. Thank you. All right. No, so she's got a planner. I've got a calendar. I'm already putting dates in, getting vacation stuff ready, and doing all this. So we've already got kind of in a mind of what our year looks like. But how many in this room knows exactly what's going to happen tomorrow? How many of your plans that you've set in motion or you assume is coming is going to be fulfilled? I don't know. I've got a pretty packed year ahead of me, but it's interesting because when you follow the Spirit's leading, that calendar really does get mixed up and jumbled and sometimes torn apart. In 2021, I was going through this. I'm like, I'm going to say it and get it the year wrong because the last 5 years are jumbled together. But when I started 2021, I had absolutely no clue what September of that year would hold. Am I right? Is it 2021?
Sure.
Okay, good. She's lost too. 2021, I was living in town. I was a single guy trying to figure out what my future held. What did God have for me? What was the next stage of life? What was work going to hold? And I kind of had my year figured out, what the last few years had kind of pointed to, a kind of an idea of what it was going to look like. I had no idea that come September, as I was in my house, the Holy Spirit would speak to me and say, hey, you're going to go out to your friend Jenna and you're going to propose, whom I hadn't seen in 2 years. I promise you that that was not my own self, that was God, because there was nothing in me that would have thought of that. And it was purely by faith that God said, now is the time, you're going to go and do this. And it changed my entire year. I mean, I was already to September, but man, looking towards the next year, all of things that I would have planned would have changed. And I'm really glad that the Spirit led and it wasn't me, because I'd still be at my little house and I would still be trying to figure out what God wants to do in my life, still praying that one day I'd be married and have a family. But the Spirit took over and He led me and I was obedient to that. I very much could have shut the voice down because there was no one that had any idea. Jenna had already forgotten that I was coming to visit already. I had told her family, she had invited me to come and see the family, see her horse, purely as friends, and I mean that, purely as friends, and she had forgotten that she invited me. My family didn't even know I was going, I thought I had told them. So honestly, in that moment, I could have said, you know what, I'm not going. I'm really glad that I listened, because it really did change the last couple years of my life, and will continue to change it. I know I haven't read anything yet. I don't have a lot to say. Most of it's going to be now. But I was really asking the Lord, what does that mean to me? And I think a lot of it is yet to be seen. What does that actually look like? What does that mean? That's a hard one, because I can't tell you how God's going to speak to you this year. And I have no idea how He's going to wreck your plans in a good way. Because how He's going to speak to you is going to be different how He spoke to me. And the plans that you've set in motion for yourself, who knows how He's going to change it and what your year will truly look like. I asked Jenna this the other day, and I realized this about myself. But for all of you who have kids, so far Declan cannot understand this, but one day I'll understand, he'll understand as we do this together. But how many of you as parents have had a conversation with your kids, and you were communicating something to them, and then you'll say, did you hear what I said? And you get the blank stare. Yeah, what'd I say? I don't know. And you've sat there and given instructions, you've explanation of what it is you want, right? You've all done that, and then you've had explained to your kids, why aren't you listening? And this has happened a lot, and I did that to my parents at times, and usually it was just them staring at me and frowning and me having to, what'd I miss? And then I told Jen, I was laughing, because this is things kids do, and yet I have a really bad habit since our marriage. A lot of times, we'll be going about our business, I'll come to the kitchen, and I'll be on my phone reading an email or something, and she'll start talking to me. And I'll be sitting reading my email, and I can hear her talking, but I don't understand what she's saying, because I'm not listening. And I'm reading the email, and all of a sudden, her voice will go silent. And I'll be like, what? She'll be like, are you listening? I'm like, yeah, and she'll say the same thing. What was I saying? Or she'll say, and? And I'll be like, I don't know. And it's actually a really bad habit that I'm really trying to change, is that when she speaks to me and she's actually having a conversation, to put my phone away. I know that that sounds horrible as a husband, but I don't even think about it sometimes. And when I was thinking of that, I was like, God, how many times have I done that to you? Because I believe there's probably times this last year, and I don't want to live in the past, but I believe that God has been speaking to me, and I missed it, missed the chance. How many opportunities was I passed over because I wasn't listening? Now, I don't believe that God's plan was unfulfilled. You know why? Because he probably then spoke to one of you guys and said, okay, how about you do it? I hope I wasn't passed over too many times, and I hope I was listening, but I really wondered. I'm like, Lord, how many times were you speaking, and I was so busy, and I thought that you were quiet at the time, but really what it was is I wasn't listening, and he was really speaking. And so that was one of my prayers for the coming year was, Lord, I want to be spirit-led, but I don't want to miss those opportunities. I want to be hearing your voice. I don't want to miss them. I want to be used in whatever ways that you want. And that was one of the things he spoke was, do you really know what you're asking? Because it is going to require me to slow down. It's going to require me to set some things aside and to prioritize him. I don't want to be the little boy who has to ask again, what'd you say? What'd you say? What'd you say? I'm speaking. I only have two portions of scripture today. They're a little bit longer, but I'm just going to read those and then close with a thought, because I think for today that's all we really need. John 14, Jesus is talking to his disciples, but it is every bit applicable for us today. We're going to start in verse 15, and we're actually going to read all the way through 15 to verse 17. So just read that with me. Stay awake, stay alert as best as you can. And if not, I just hope the Spirit will speak to you later. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in the Father. I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show them myself to them. Then Judas said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Also, this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the Prince of the world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what the Father has commanded me. Come, let us leave. Now stop right there for a second. I think it's going to go in to the next portion of Scripture and use a few other words I'm going to explain. You remember last week, the Advent candles, kind of what I closed with? That these words, here Jesus is saying them again. He says, my love is in you, peace I leave for you, peace I bring to you. Eventually, he's going to say, my joy will be in you. What I closed with was the idea, the redefinition of words. You remember that? How Jesus is saying here, these words have so much more meaning. And they said, why aren't you revealing yourself to the world? He said, because the world does not know me. The world cannot understand. But you do, because you are in me. Now, I want you to realize what we sit in and what we enjoy today is that he's talking to disciples who did not yet have the Holy Spirit. Now get that. Jesus walked among them, right? The disciples had access to him. They had a physical connection. They could shake his hand. They could give him a hug. They could hear his physical words. But understand something. The men that the disciples were prior to the coming of the Advocate were a lot different than after Pentecost. Even with the physical Jesus, their lives were really a mess. And they really truly didn't trust Jesus fully. But when the Advocate came, when the Spirit came, that is when the church broke out and when these men found their courage and their trust. Doesn't mean they were perfect, but that is the beauty of what you and I step into 2024 in, is that we have the Spirit of God with us. It's not us following a physical Jesus and still wondering, is this truly Him? It is the Spirit that daily speaks to us in the mess and the chaos. I am so glad that our Heavenly Father is a God who can cut through the mess and that He can cut through my noise, because I am a busy person, and I say that just because I make myself busy. A lot of you guys have a lot more on your plates than I do, but somehow when I'm at home, I'm constantly running. I am running from here, running from there, making noise. When I'm at work, I get tired when I'm driving, so I listen to stuff. I have a constant noise in my ear, and my Heavenly Father has a way of breaking through to that and speaking to me even when I'm not listening. And it's wonderful that He does those simple things that I don't have to be in here to hear Him. I'm walking in Bixler Lake by myself. No one has any idea. And God is doing a work in me, showing me that all of that was led up to this. And maybe even for those of you in here this morning, that doesn't speak a lot to you. But for me, who this message is the culmination of what He was doing for the last few weeks and really helping me and leading me to the new year. So we're going to finish off the verses in go to chapter 15. Let's read these. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does not bear fruit He prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. And if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. And if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, here it is, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends, and if you do what I command, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends. For everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love one another. I don't think there's any greater charge, any greater New Year's resolution, which I absolutely hate New Year's resolutions because they always reveal the things that I feel like I'm failing at. And so honestly, instead of making a large list this year of the things that I'm going to try in my own strength, this is what He put on my heart. Do you want to be self-led? Do you want to be Spirit-led? Because the reality is this. I hadn't thought as I closed. Every day on my way to work, I pass the Kendallville Orchard. Okay, you know that one? And I pass it to work. I pass it on the way back. I only see it on the way home because it's light by then. And all through the summer and the spring, you know, I slowly saw the flowers come in on the trees, began to see the little apples, and I began to see them grow. And then for a very, very, very long period of time, I saw these beautiful apples. And every day that I passed, they looked the same. They were beautiful. They were ripe. They looked sweet. All you want to do is walk in there and grab one and eat it. And me and Jenna, in the last couple of years, we always look forward to, in the fall, going to get a few bushels and making applesauce and all this stuff. The reason I say all that is you can go for months and months and see these beautiful apples, and they don't look any different. They are beautiful. They are healthy. They are prosperous. They're exactly what they're meant to be. And me and Jenna, when we go get the bushels of apples, we take them home. And this last time, it was a very busy season, but we both wanted to make sure we fit that in. So I don't know, maybe we got four boxes or so, put them in the kitchen. And for days and days, they were beautiful. And they smelled good. They looked good. And they tasted good. But after a couple of weeks, we still hadn't gotten to them. And you look in the boxes, and they're a little bit brown, a little bit wrinkly, a little bit shriveled, and there's a little bit more bugs that were not there before. And I'm constantly like, Jenna, when are we going to get to these? When are we going to get these apples done? Because honestly, I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know exactly what you want to do to make applesauce or jam or not. So I really need you to help because we paid for these and I don't want to waste them. And she's like, we'll get to them, we'll get to them. And this isn't a knock on her. This is the season we were in. But it was like, these are not looking so pretty anymore. And we did eventually get to them, and yes, we canned them and made applesauce and all the stuff. But it made me start thinking, when I finished this, and I was just kind of a piece of what God wanted to say, was that for a time, if we start 2024 self-led, we can do it for a time. We've had the Spirit in us, we have the knowledge, we have the wisdom, we've played church for a long time, right? For a period of time, you and I can do good things. And we can really kind of look and appear like the church. But one thing that I know for a fact, and Chris, I am so grateful for your sermon a few weeks ago, me and Jenna talked about on the way home. You said something that was both humbling but also very encouraging. You said, recently I haven't really heard the voice of God. I haven't felt as close as I'd like to be. And I said, there is no way that anyone in here should judge you for that because every one of us exactly knows what that feels like. And I've had that many times this year, and I've told Jenna, I said, I don't share that to a lot of people. Here I am preaching probably once a month, and I should get it together. I should be the one who's holding it together. I should have the peace. I should have the joy. I should have the mountaintop experiences. And yet there are days that I'm like, God, I feel nothing. I feel like I'm in the valley. I've been a believer most of my life, and here I am. I should be feeling differently, and yet I don't. But almost every time I can pinpoint it, and I don't know if that's for you, but I can pinpoint those moments to where I have not been abiding in the vine. And I found myself a little more busy and finding more and more reason to hold off on this and to do a little bit more of other things because I'll get to it. I'll get to it. And it's funny because when I was younger than I am now, before I was married and had a baby, I was like, Lord, I'm so busy. I don't know how I'm going to have time when I get married and have a kid. And I'm like, if I don't make time for you now, I know when I'm married with a kid, I'm not going to have time. And I was like, I better get this under control. I got married and had a kid and realized I don't have time. And I'm waiting. I'm sitting around waiting for an extra spare time. You know what I thought? I'm not going to get that extra time. I have to make the extra time. But I don't want it to be a to-do list. But I find that myself realizing that the times that I feel like that wrinkled apple, with a little less taste, the fruit is not bearing quite as much has been the times that I have not abided in the vine, abided on the branch. It's the same thing as your cell phone. You unplug the cell phone, and you guys can probably make it through a day. My wife's cell phone does not. It is a piece of junk, and it doesn't make it longer than a few hours, and she's running to get a charger. But generally, you can make it about a day. But what happens about the end of the day is your phone's on red, and it says, need to find a charger. Why? Because you can only make it so long before it no longer works right and the fruit is no longer there. And this is not meant to be a discouragement. It's supposed to realize that I'm going into 2024 and everyone in this room, whether you actually write it down or not, probably has a list of New Year's resolutions. Well, I will tell you, especially the things that most matter, you can go in there charging ahead with all the best intention in the world, but apart from Christ, most of them will fall apart because you and I just don't have it in us. With all the best intentions that we have. The fruit of the Spirit that we read about in Galatians is not simply a jacket you and I wake up and just put on every day. It is the process and it is the result of a life lived connected to Christ. It is that simple that if you find yourself saying, I don't have the love for that person, I don't have the joy, I'm not at peace, I don't have patience, I don't have kindness. Maybe the goodness isn't there. Faithfulness. Whatever it is that you're like, I'm lacking in. It is not going to work if you face 2024 and say, I'm just going to be more patient. Anyone ever tried that? Just to try a little harder? Those things come as a result of walking with the Father and abiding in Him. And apart from this, he lays it out in the front of the chapter. He says, apart from this, you can do nothing. That's really comforting going into the new year, because all my best intentions in the spiritual realm, in the supernatural, is useless with my own strength. So again, I pose the question in closing, do you want to be spirit-led or do you want to be self-led? There's been times this year that I have said in my heart, I want to be self-led because I really want it my way. And I really want things to go my way. I like to be in control. I like to know my schedule. I like to kind of know what to expect because that's who I am. But I see where it gets me and how empty it makes me feel. But man, a life lived by the Spirit changes everything. So whatever you get from that, great. Whatever you don't get from it, then it's all right. I just want to close 2023 with you guys, because this is probably the last time we'll all be together before the next year. And it's been a good year. Despite the challenges and the ups and downs as a church, I'm really grateful for what God's done in our church and what He's done in our church family. And the victories, even the difficult times, the ups and downs, the losses, the times in our community. There's been many times this year to look back where we've been Spirit-led. And so as I pray that, I'm like, Lord, do that in our church, but I want it to be true for my family. I want to be Spirit-led as a husband, as a father, and as an individual in my own life. And it doesn't matter how many years that I feel like I've gotten it right or I should know this. Every year is another opportunity to walk with Him and an opportunity to rededicate that and resurrender that and recommit that, because it is so easy to detach and think that I'm abiding. So let's pray together and trust that the Lord will do that very thing in our families and in our church. Father, thank You for Your patience. I thank You that You are always before us, behind us, with us, inside us. Father, I thank You for 2023. I thank You for another year of life. I thank You for another year of purpose. Father, I thank You for our families. And I thank You, Lord, that because we are Your children, Lord, You abide in us. Even on the days that we walk alone in our own hearts. Father, You've never left us. And Father, I pray that this would be a moment, Lord, even whether there's parties tonight or whether there are those who just plan to go to bed and enjoy their evening off. Father, I pray in our hearts we would resolutely look towards You and say, I have no idea what 24 holds. But Father, we already know You're there. And You escort us there. And Father, I pray that we would learn to abide in You. That in all the things that we are getting ready to cram onto our calendars, Father, that all of that would mean very little in light of what You want to do in us. That You would not be our plan B. That You would not be our leftovers. That You would not be the last bits of the best fruits that we have. Father, I need that. I want to be Spirit-led. I want Your Spirit to lead me, to change me, to move me, to say, go here, to stay here, to be patient here, to give this, to abide, to slow down. And Father, I want to be aware of Your presence. And I pray this for my church family, that we would resolutely look, set our hearts towards You, and that You would have Your way in us. I thank You for the gift that You are to us, that Your Spirit is strong, that You are loving, that You are kind. And I pray that this year, Lord, that the fruits of the Spirit would grow even deeper on us, stronger, sweeter, fruits that last. And may You prune off everything that is not of You. Empty us of self, empty us of our pride, empty us of our desire, and let our desires become Yours. We love You, Lord. And I bless this church, I bless this family, And we go away, Lord, and trust and looking forward to what you have for us in the coming days and the coming months. In your wonderful name, amen. God bless you all. Have a great new year.